It's going to be a blast that weekend. I'm helping with the kids on February 12th, so you can trust me. You know, it'll be good. I was with the guy who lost his own grandchild in the woods. Okay, maybe I lost him, but I found him. I refound him. Hey, I stole this idea, but really, you know, every good and perfect gift comes from God above, right? All good gifts come from Him. Everything you've ever experienced that is good has come from the Father of all lights. And so I stole this idea, even though they got it from God, I think. But what I want to talk about today is the gospel, and it's always the gospel lately. But I want you to get this in your head. To chase the why of the behavior. Now, here's, and we're going to have some points I want to show you, but here's the poster, right? This is what I stole. It was done by an occupational therapist that works with children in this public school systems, and it's made of three parts. If a kid's not paying attention, if they're not working, if they're not following directions, now those of you that are teachers, you understand how this can be a real challenge. If you're not praying for our teachers, you need to, because it is a challenge, especially the last 2 years. And what do you do? And what they have found out, it's amazing, they found out what we learned a long time ago from the Lord. It's you chase the why of the behavior. You see, I was raised, those of you that are, you know, over anyway, my age or older, you understand when we were raised, they didn't chase the why you were misbehaving. It's like they gave you a why not to misbehave. There we go. That's what they did. Instead of chasing the why of the behavior, they said, stop it. Or else. I made you and I can make another one just like you. So don't get all cocky on me. You know, that was what we were raised with. Severe, strict, instant punishment. I mean, how many of you have gone out in the hallway and got licks from a teacher before? Oh, about half of us. Nobody under 50. Oh, nobody under 30. It's just like that. But I'm telling you, it's better. What they're doing now is better. It's better to say, why is that behavior happening? And this guy, he talked about it. The why, right? It could be they're focused on something else. They didn't sleep well. They're overwhelmed. They're late for school. There's stress at home. There's chaos. It could be too loud and overwhelming. Now, don't get me wrong, there is benefit to giving children structure and to having children overcome and challenges. Some of you are like me. Believe it or not, there some of these things where it would actually get over me. I get overwhelmed with too much noise and too much, and I'd blow up. And it wasn't a discipline issue. Now, I'm not negating discipline. Children need to grow. I needed to persevere through and push through some of those things. But the truth is, someone needs to ask the questions. Maybe that kid's hungry. Maybe they have a home and they don't get to eat. Right? You don't know if you don't ask why. Why are they being angry? I mean, how many of you have ever been hangry before? Y'all know what hangry is? It's hunger that makes you angry. Well, let's fix the why. There's nothing wrong with the kid. And so this is really true. How many of you have faked that you have to use the bathroom to get out of class when you were young? Yeah, I did it multiple times. But sometimes you do have to go to the bathroom. Probably 1 out of 100, but it's, you know, and so we need to do that. Why? Chase the why. Maybe they're just bored. Maybe they're smarter than the teacher. Some of you are, you know, they don't understand. Maybe they're embarrassed to ask for help, and so they start misbehaving. You know, they don't want to admit they can't see or can't hear, and they just get angry. You see, the why is very important. There are many more whys. The why, I don't agree with this, the why is never simply attention-seeking. Well, sometimes it is, but most of the time it's not. The why is never avoiding not wanting to do the work. And so they encourage teachers. And I'm telling you, you talk about a tough job. Be a public school teacher. the why. They encourage teachers to chase the why. And to me, I'm like, God, it breaks my heart that you have a teacher with 20 or 40 kids, and how can they chase the why with 18 out of 20? I don't know. What a challenge, huh? But this same principle applies to our lives today. Are you chasing the why in your life? Or are you just trying to control that behavior or the attitude? And I want to take you through some details of this today, because I think some of us in here today are fighting a battle, and we're fighting the wrong battle. Just like with a child, if you think just threatening their physical life is going to change their behavior, you're sadly mistaken. They'll just get sneakier. You just won't see what they're doing. You'll make them smarter. It doesn't help if there's a reason that they're acting or behaving or have an attitude that they have. And the same thing's true for us. And so when you're dealing with your spouse, when you're dealing with your friend, when you're driving down the highway, you know what? There's a why that person just waved at you with the middle finger, right? There's a why. I mean, for me, it's usually I'm a bad driver and I cut in front of them or something. But why are they so angry? I don't know. One time I was pulling in here, coming up Main Street, and I was going to turn left, and I had pulled right in front of a guy at the stoplight. I mean, I don't even know. I didn't see him. Pulled right in front of him. I heard him lock his brakes up. You know, you hear it, you're like, you look in the rear view, and like, whoops, he didn't hit me. I was okay. He was not okay. He kept honking. He just stayed right on my bumper. Honk, 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 honk. And I mean, I know I'm turning in here, and Jeannie's with me. Right? So you got two elderly people almost in the car, and I have to get in the middle turn lane, and there's a car coming, so I have to stop. He pulls up right beside me and stops in the lane he's not supposed to stop in, and he turns around, and Jeannie thinks, she said, "Is he a friend of yours? He's waving at you." And I look, and I'm like, I don't know him. If we pulled in and, you know, went on with my business. I'm glad he didn't come to church here that morning. I think it was a Sunday. But he might have been mad or embarrassed. I don't know. But, you know, there was a reason. He might have had an anger issue that came from growing up in a chaos as a child and having unbelievable things happen. You never know that. That messes kids up. It messes me up and you up. You walk home, you get home, and you never know what daddy's going to do. Is it a good day or a bad day? You've heard those saying, you know, don't get mad at work, go home and kick the cat. Well, don't go home and kick your kid. And so chaos, somebody abruptly doing something to that man might have triggered something that came from his growing up years when he got beat for no reason. And it was never right, and it was never fair. And he still carries that anger. And he just happened to express his anger towards my wife, who didn't understand what it was. So there's advantages to being from Brazil. You don't know all the hand signals that we Americans have, right? So chase the why. It's the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that. And I want to explain it to you what that looks like. I just want to show you a verse right here. The outside behavior is a signal that there is a problem on the inside. Now, not all the time, but most of the time, for you and your spouse and your friend and your boss at work and whoever else in your life is the one that's expressing on you, there's a reason. And for you, the things that you can't stop, the attitudes you have, the anger that comes up, you know how it comes up. It just sort of, for all of us, there's whys. There's always a why. And chase it. Just make a decision. I'm going to chase that. I want to find out where. And for us, you know this is the gospel. And I'm going to show you. The why is always going to be somewhere where I need to have a connection with Jesus. Because when you're abiding in the vine, you have a supernatural power to have grace and kindness and mercy and self-control. And love. The fruit of the gift and the fruit of the Spirit. That's what happens when you're connected with Him. So there's always a why. So you don't react to the outside behavior. If you do react to the outside behavior, then you probably have a why you react. Amen. just true. Don't beat yourself up. Chase the why. Don't beat your spouse up. They'll put you in jail for that. Chase the why. Right? Don't do it. Find out why the behavior is occurring. Jesus said it this way in red letters. He spoke in red letters. Sometimes, do not judge or you too will be judged. You see, when you're judging the behavior, the attitude, the action, you're actually judging. Jesus said, don't judge. That's not chasing the why. You're judging. You're calling names. I think really it's the root of all bigotry, prejudice, oppression. It's the root of all that stuff is judging. So here we go. Emotions. You guys get to answer this, all right? In your head, or you can say it out loud, I don't care. Emotions, are they good or are they bad? Jesus, who said that? Okay, Tim, Kay, control him. He just gets so excited, he can't stop it. Is that good or bad? Emotions are not bad. They're the signal. They're often the signal that you're going to follow to the why. Emotions just show you there's a why. There's a reason for those things. Okay, this one's harder to answer. Okay, behavior, good or bad? Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it hurts you. Sometimes it hurts others. But is it good or bad? Behavior is a signal that there's something wrong on the inside. Amen. Behavior that causes pain. Behavior that's not acceptable. It's a signal. It's just like a red light. We all call them red lights. I don't know why we don't call them go lights. Stop lights or red lights. Well, because they interrupt our lives. No, they keep you safe. When it's on red, it's a good thing not to go. Guys, it's not bad. Behavior reveals there's something going on the inside that needs to be dealt with. It's not a sign that people are bad or good. And behavior is not bad or good. Now, here's the thing. It's hard. It's God's plan. That is God's plan. And some of you have been in my office. You see this. I have these orchids growing next to my window. And about every week or so, I have to turn them. I like the flowers pointing towards me. And the dumb plants who don't even have a brain keep turning towards the light that comes in the window. That's how God created plants. Guess how God created you? He created you to experience life, to draw life. He created us that way. It's His plan. Now, that very thing can also be the source of what we're looking for in the why. You see, because in our lives as humans, there's always a why. And the why is because a plant has no choice. God made them so that they're always going to turn towards the light. God made us free so we could turn towards the dark. Isn't that crazy? You see, here's the truth. We all were created with needs. It's another question. Our needs, we have physical needs. I need food. I need water. I need temperature control. We have all kinds of physical needs. We have biological needs that are just real. They can track them deeper and deeper. The scientists can inside of us. We have real needs. Guess who created you with those needs? Needs aren't bad. It's the way God made us. It's what brings us to life. You know, we have emotional needs. We need to be loved. We need to be needed. We need to be valued and accepted, safe, secure. We need to belong. Those are all real. They were given to us by God, and everyone has them. You know, I see people making decisions. They wish they didn't have any needs. And they wish they didn't have any feelings. Because when you have needs that aren't met, it creates pain. It creates a deep inner pain. physical needs, you'll be driven by them. In our society, most of our physical needs are met. Most of our needs that are driving us are going to be emotional needs. They're going to be things that don't involve food or water or shelter. But I want to tell you, those needs are just as real, and they cause pain. And then we also have a need for purpose, for destiny, for our potential to do good. Like the therapy world knows that that's a bigger deal than we've ever dreamed. They can track it now, how that affects people. You have a need for purpose. It literally, and I said it up there, human beings crave purpose. It's like, it's one of our innate needs. I need to have a purpose for existing beyond just feeding my face. Beyond just getting my personal psychological needs met. There's something about purpose which actually drives us. And if you don't have purpose in your life, then you literally, they track it. It will affect you physically. It'll hurt your body. It'll hurt everything in your life. It affects you psychologically. Purpose is one of the defining things that make us human, is we need purpose in life. And you know, the truth is, we all, God put us, and I believe if you're younger, if you were born after 1972, you have more needs than any other generation, any other people that's ever been born in the history of the world. You're hungrier, you're thirstier, you need more, you're capable of taking more. And my generation and older, we can't understand, because what are they doing? Maybe they have such a need for these things that go far outweighs us. It's hard to understand. And it's not bad. I don't care how big your needs are. They are not bad. So what's the problem? Because if you're not getting your needs met, you wish you didn't have any. But God put that in you. And He determined how big they are and how small they are and how great they are. You all have needs. We all do. And so are you thirsty? If you took communion today, you saw Missy put a thirsty quote on this, on the communion table. And I said, did you read my notes, girl? Because that's all I'm talking about today is thirst. You guys are the thirstiest people that have ever existed in the face of the earth. And that's not bad. Amen. It's good. It's good. Now, you're thirsty. What's the answer? Jesus, right? In Revelation chapter 22, I'll read verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of water of life. You see, what's the answer if you're thirsty? Tim read my notes too. He answered already. Jesus, 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 Jesus. What do you mean? Look what he said in John chapter 7. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, is anyone thirsty? What's a prerequisite? Y'all know that word? What needs to happen? You have to be thirsty first. Thirst isn't bad. As a matter of fact, the thirstier you are, the greater your need, the greater your want, the greater your desire, the greater experience you're going to get to have with Him. Amen. Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, I don't care how thirsty you are, if you're thirsty, what about the people who aren't thirsty? They don't get a drink. The prerequisite for Him is thirst. He said, if anybody's thirsty, come to me and drink. Come to me and drink. He's the one who put the need in us, and He's the one who fulfills the need. So no one has to go empty. No one has to lack. No one has to go without. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, where you live, your skills, your abilities. He has it for everyone. Every need you ever had, Jesus is the answer for that need. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture said, this is great. You see, if you're thirsty and you go to Him for drink, then guess what He says? Rivers Rivers, gushing rivers of living water will flow from within me. Literally, I get a drink and this water starts getting all over you. Listen, if I'm having a bad day, that's your fault. You're not drinking enough, because if you were drinking enough, your water would become a stream and it would come on me, and then I would get satisfied too. We're all in this together, guys. You think your life doesn't matter? You matter. And when you drink with Him, the water that He satisfies you becomes a stream, goes out of you. And He's talking about the Holy Spirit. So come drink. Why are we doing communion all the time? Drink, drink, drink. How drink? Drink. Drink to the point that everyone in town thinks we're all drunk. Not alcoholic beverages. But you're going to act the same way. Well, not all the time. Sometimes you drink, you get depressed. Sometimes, whatever. But you know what I'm saying. Are you thirsty? Jesus. Here's the next verse, Matthew 11. Are you weary? Are you tired? Don't lie to me. Well, you can if you want to. But you know what? Some of you are tired. Don't you ever get tired? You're tired of doing this. You're tired of doing that. You're tired of doing this. Seems like all you ever do is serve. Seems like all you ever do is give. Seems like all you ever do is work. Seems like all you ever do, and you're getting overwhelmed. Perfect. You're thirsty. Go to Him. He's got more for you than you need. And if you're tired and you drink, that I'm tired and I get your overflow. We're in this together, guys. And Jesus said, if you come to me, if you have a burden. Is anybody burdened besides me? I have a burden for people that I watch self-destruct. Real burden. I have a burden for people. I don't have anything to do with teachers, but I have a burden for teachers. I have a burden for the officers. You know how hard it is to be a cop in our world? The people who serve us. I have a burden for those people, and I don't have anything to do with them, but I have a burden for them. You know what? Jesus said, if I come to Him, He'll lift the burden. Amen. Do you have a burden for your family? Do you have a burden about your job or your future, your finances? What do you have a burden for? You're set up perfectly to turn to the Son. And if you'll turn to the Son, He'll lift that burden off of you. And when He does, that same thing that happens to you is going to go out from you to the people around you. So you'll lift them up. It's funny. He said, all you got to do, I love the Passion Translation here, and I know it stretches some of you. Read it in whatever version you want. Simply join your life with mine. That's what Jesus came for, so you could be one with Him. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. If that isn't the weirdest gospel you'll ever hear right there. What do you mean God's easy to please? I thought I had to be perfect. No, you have to be burdened, you have to be thirsty, you have to be hungry, and then you just go to Him. He's easy, but He wants those who are hungry to come to Him. You'll find refreshment and rest in me when you're tired. All I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. Hard to believe, isn't it? Well, I came to church to get inspired, motivated, to tell me to get up off my behind and get to work. Jesus said, come to church and bring your burdens and your cares and come to me and I'll take them. You know? It's red letters, guys. I can't really say anything other than that. Are you thirsty? What's the answer? Jesus. 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 I think everybody in here can pass that test. Okay? I'm going to ask you a question, and you're not getting a $50 gift certificate if you answer it correctly. You know? What do you do when you have needs? You go to Jesus. That's it? Yeah. He's the bread. He's the blood. He's life. Okay, so this next point is it gets a little hairier. Oh, when He says come to me, I didn't say this. I wrote my notes. That means to come to Him and continually keep coming to Him. It's not a past one-time action that we do. It's dependent upon, just like my plants, those orchids, you pretty much have to water them a little bit every day for them to be healthy. I can't water them once and then 6 months later come back and water them again. They'll be dead. If you're living with Jesus and you only come to Him once a day, try drinking water once a day and tell me how that goes for you. No, you drink and you continually keep drinking. That's the verb that they use there. That's what Jesus said. If he would say it that way. Okay, so do you know what that is? I'll get closer. It's a desert. And if any of you ever watched any old westerns like I have watched, right? You've been in a desert and you're going up and down these dunes and you hadn't had any water for 2 days and your horse is dead and you're just barely dragging yourself up one sand hill and down another, and you come over the top of a hill and you look out in the distance and you see water, water. And all of a sudden, they got energy, they got strength, and they start running for the water. And the smart guy holds back and he lets somebody else get there first, because y'all all know it's just like quicksand, right? There's some water that's good, and there's other water that'll kill you. So you let your buddy drink first. Watch him. You know, it's like, don't go drink that water. You need to know whether that water is good or not. Not every water hole is safe to drink from. If your needs aren't bad, then what's the problem? If thirst is okay, the problem is there's more than one stream to drink from. There's water out there. Some of it's not good for you. And it'll pay. Listen to what he said. And this is Isaiah talking about what Jesus said when he said, "Come to me, all you who thirst and are heavy laden, come to me." It comes out of the book of Isaiah in a prophecy about the Messiah. Isaiah said, "Listen, are you thirsty? Come to the refreshing waters and drink. Even if you have no money, come, buy, eat. Yes, come and buy all the wine and milk you desire. It won't cost a thing." And then he throws something in there. "Why spend your hard-earned money on something that can't nourish you, or work so hard for something that can't satisfy? Listen carefully to me. You'll enjoy a sumptuous feast, delighting in the finest of food." There is water that the Lord has provided, and it's free. But there is also water that won't satisfy you. There's water that will kill you. And Jesus is fully aware of it. There's life and death. Depends on what you drink from. You see, the needs are real. The need of affirmation, approval, support, love. That's all in us. Where you go to get satisfied will determine the outcome of your behavior and your actions. So when you're asking the why, you're asking God, why is my anger no better than it was? Well, it's because somewhere you're not drinking good water. Because if you're drinking good water, this is what it'll look like. You'll have patience, you'll have kindness, you'll have peace, joy. If you're drinking bad water, you'll have a bellyache and you'll act like you got a bellyache all the time. You'll be hangry all the time. It's life or death. And I love this. He says in verse 3, in that same passage, he said, "Pay attention and come closer to me." You see, we need to pay attention. Not just stumble through life uneducated and unaware. My first thought, I want it to be, "Oh, that guy just waved at me. Why is he doing that?" Instead of reacting to that, you know, I was going to say in my younger days, I'd have pulled him out of the car and beat him, but I never would have done that because I got beat up a lot. But it's like I would have wanted to. But, you know, it's like, no. No, pay attention to your reactions. Pay attention to how you interpret. You know, what a challenge for teachers to tell them, chase the behavior. I'm like, how can a teacher do that? It's hard to do it with your own family. It's hard to do it with one or two or three. couldn't imagine with four or five. So pay attention. Pay attention to what you're drinking, where you're drinking, because God made you thirsty. And you are, and I am, and we all are. But where do we get our water from? You see, there's life and death. There's water that's health, clear and pure, and there's water that's contaminated. And it'll show you where you're drinking from. It'll come out in your behaviors. It'll come out in your attitude, your character. It'll come out in your emotions. It comes out. Quit beating yourself up and do the same thing. You know, it didn't do any good. Some of you, have any of you ever had a strong-willed child? Like, y'all know what those are? Yeah. Does beating them actually help? No. It's hard. Because you know what a real strong-willed child will do? I'm not going to drink this water. I'm not going to drink that. Well, I'm going to kill you. Good. I still win because I didn't drink it. That's their attitude. So it's very, very hard. But there's a why they won't drink it. You know, there's always a why. I could tell y'all stories that are funny, but I'm actually thinking of some of you, so I'm not going to tell the stories. But a gift of perseverance can be a gift of stubbornness. It can be both. Now, the why. Because there's two streams. There's two water holes. And I know in our world, sometimes it's just you're learning, the kids are growing, we're growing. Sometimes it's that. But sometimes there's a reason because we've been drinking from the wrong place. Because there are two streams. We weren't taught that. We were taught just make yourself do it. Good luck. It doesn't work. Two spirits, right? I love this passage. In Matthew, Jesus is led. Y'all know this passage, right? Said Jesus, when he was came up out of the baptism on the Jordan River with his cousin John, he was led into the desert, and the tempter, Satan, came to him. And it's so interesting, if you read these passages, when the tempter came, he said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus had not drank or eaten anything for 40 days. He was starving. He had a physical need. You see, they're real. You know what? You have physical needs too. And it's funny, when you look at this, the same thing that he did here, he did with Eve, Adam and Eve in the garden. The same thing. You look at it over and over again. And then he said the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. And Jesus said, don't put the Lord your God to take your test. You know, he had a need for a proving, knowing. You know, you've got a need. You and I have a need to know that we're okay, that we're approved of, that we're good. And he challenged him to do it his own way. And Jesus said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that. And then the third time the devil came to him, the fallen angel, and he took him to a mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. You see, we all have a need for our purpose, our destiny. Maybe you have a sense inside that you're called to something more, and we all have a need for that. I'm called to have a family. I'm called to be this. I'm called to do this in business, in church, in my world. I feel this need. Jesus knew that his call and his destiny was to be king of the whole world. And Satan said, here, I'll give that to you. It was a real need in Jesus' life. But Jesus wouldn't go his way. He wouldn't drink from that well. You know, and it's like those same things happen when you look at Genesis, right? The first thing when he came to the woman, he said, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, yeah, she had physical needs too. It was good. It was death. And then she also had the other needs. It was pleasing to the eye. It was something she really wanted. She wanted to see. You know, we have those needs. We have a need for those kinds of things in our lives, those emotional things. We need to feel good. We need to be around beauty. We need to be around peace. We need it. Where do you go to get it? It'll show. And then the other last one was for gaining wisdom, to becoming who she was called to be. God said, Adam and Eve, Y'all bring dominion to this world. They need wisdom. And Satan offered it. And y'all know Adam and Eve took the bait. There were two sources available. They took it. And it brought something. Here's the last passage. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. You know, it's not the last passage, by the way. I can make it the last one. That word love there is agape. It's the same word. And I want you to notice, they didn't say loving money is evil. They said loving money is the root of all evil. When you trust money to be your source of getting your physical needs, your emotional needs, your inner needs met, when you trust something in the world there is actually mammon. It's not just money. It could be prestige. It could be honor. It could be a position. It could be titles. Anything in this world, if that's what you're trusting to meet your life needs, if that's what you're loving, it becomes a seed that produces evil in your life. And it's funny, that same words in 1 John. John said, do not love the world. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world. That's the word agape. And I was taught, right, as a young pastor, agape means God's love. And then I started studying the Bible, and I thought, wait, they use agape to talk about this too. It's the same word for love. There's five different words for love, I think. And if anyone loves the world, the love, and it's all agape. And then one day I read it, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, that's your physical needs, your chemical needs. Same three needs that Jesus got tempted with. The lust of the eyes and the pride of life does not come from the Father. You know, guys, there's a temptation that we all face every day. It's like, are we thirsty? Yeah. Every one of us are thirsty. We have burdens. We have needs. We're thirsty. We have emotional needs. We all do. We all do. And we have a need for purpose and destiny to make a difference in the world. We all have those needs. The question is, where are you going to go? Are you going to love the things of the world and depend upon them to meet your needs? Or are you going to depend upon Him to meet your needs? You know, I love it. I love it that Jesus created us free. I do. And now that you know the truth, you can start asking, you can start chasing the why. Why am I circling this mountain again? Why am I going through this pit again? Why? There must be somewhere. And the really simple version is, it'll always end up back at a water source. It'll end up back where you get life from. It'll end up back with love. So guys, in our lives, let's become a people. Can you imagine the world if we all chase the why? Instead of just judging ourselves and judging other people. Like when you see a behavior, an action, an attitude that's crazy, instead of judging that person, you start asking that deeper question. Why are they acting this way? Why are they? And then if you can do that with other people, you can do it with your own heart. And you can be free. You can be free from guilt, shame, all that judgment stuff we do to ourselves. Instead of judging ourselves, we ask the real question, which is why. It's so simple, and it'll stop judgment. So today I believe that God wants to set some of us free. Like, you need to ask that question in your heart. Are there things in your life where you just stuck and you can't get past it? You just need to chase the why. And the why will be a source of life issue. it won't be a lack of self-control or weakness or stupidity or I just as runs in my family. No, Jesus set us free. It's always going to be your source. Where are you drinking from? Okay? All right, let's all stand up. I heard Peter. We don't want you to have any sound. Just pretend you're playing. There you go. Good. You're good. He's got sound. So let's pray. God, we just thank you. Lord, I ask that you'd give us all courage today to stop ignoring things, to stop judging, and to chase the why in our lives. And God, I ask that it would, when we chase the why, it'd be a joy. It wouldn't be a burden. The foundation would always end in peace. God, I ask you'd give us courage to not judge other people's behaviors, but to chase the why in their lives. That I could see people the way you see people, God. So Jesus, I just ask you to bring freedom in this room today. Freedom for people online, freedom for our families and our friends. So God, you said you give drinks to the thirsty. You take the burdens away from the people who are burdened. So Jesus, I just ask that you would give us courage to admit that we're thirsty. God, I just come against that spirit that judges and the pride and the embarrassment. Jesus, I just thank you that you're after us, those of us that need help. So God, we just want to be a people who are not ashamed to say we need Jesus. So God, I pray for courage today, that no one would have to leave here with what they came in with. So we have some people up front that want to pray with you. And I just want to invite you, if there's something God's brought up in your heart this morning, we'd like to pray with you about it. We'd like to help you. So Jesus, I just thank you. And for everything you're doing today, I thank you for the things happening next weekend, the singles ministry and the parents not out thing, God. And I just pray that it would be a blessing and bring life to everybody who participates. We just thank you, King. Amen. So these guys would love to pray with you this morning, and don't miss an opportunity to leave something that you don't have to take home. All right. And, if you're thinking about pretending you have small children, like I heard Tommy talking to his daughter that maybe he was going to try it. Tommy, don't try it. We know you don't have any small children. There you go. God bless you guys. You're dismissed.